Golden is like referring to something gold, obviously, which we usually consider pretty good, right? Like gold medal, the gold standard. What are some other ones? What? Gold star in Fortnite. The gold ring. So I've actually been to the Golden Ring Road. Oh, like a gold ring, like a wedding ring or something, or like a friendship ring. I don't know what it is. Okay, yeah, right? So gold is a precious metal. It doesn't decay or rust or things like that. So it's used a lot of times for jewelry, for... Could have. Fire safety hazard. All right. So gold is important, okay? And so tonight, part of what we're going to look at is something gold, which when we get to it, I want you to understand that this is a very important idea for us to get. And we can see it in our main principle tonight, and then we're going to look at the passage, because what I want you to do is understand when Jesus is giving this message, what he's doing in this passage we're going to read is he's ramping up to this final thing that he's going to be telling all of these people who are listening his message. So he's ramping up to verse 12 and 14, and then next week we're going to finish off the series. But 12 and 14 is going to be the height of the message, so you have to have somewhat of an understanding of it so that you get the rest of it. Mr. Rob, would you mind turning off the air? It's like, it's a blizzard up here, though, okay? So, they're LEDs. They don't give off, like, any heat, okay? All right, so here's the main principle. Treat others like you would want to be treated. How many of you have heard this saying before, right? Okay, it is called the Golden Rule, okay? Golden Rule. Why? Because it is so important, right? It is the gold standard for us of what it means to follow Christ in our relationships with other people on earth. So when we think of that, how we need to act with others, this is a guiding principle for us, right? This is a guiding principle, okay? I like to get gifts. Do you guys like to get gifts? Yeah? You do? All right, I want everyone to look in the back of their chair in the little pocket for a little thing that's right there. Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, a sticker!
So these are custom printed stickers for you guys. You can put them on your Nalgene's. If you have a car, you can put it on your car. All right, everybody's getting one for free. We'll have them for sale in the corner store. But I love you guys so much, I wanted to give you a birthday present of a brand new sticker no one else in the world pretty much has except you guys. So, limited edition, pretty awesome. Okay, so you're welcome. But here's the thing. I like to get gifts, so it would make sense for me to be someone who gives to others, right? Because that is how I like to be treated, right? So a great example of this also is my wife, Megan. She's not here right now. She's at work. It's very sad. I understand. But she loves birthdays. They're a huge deal to her. She loves birthdays so much that her birthday is in February, and she doesn't like to celebrate Valentine's Day because it's so close to her birthday, and she likes to have the emphasis on birthdays. They're really important to her. So the cool thing is, since she likes that, she understands this well, and she does other people's birthdays really well. So like this last weekend, we got to go to Atlanta. She took me to a Braves game. We went to some nice restaurants, had fun. It was great because she loves me well. She then acts in a way that reflects the things that she values. So she makes a big deal on my birthday because that's something that she would want to receive as well. Okay? So as we think through this passage, we're going to think in how do I treat someone else that looks like how I would want to be treated, right? Because most of us, if we were being honest and not being silly or something, would say, I enjoy when people value me, right? That I enjoy someone giving me a gift, spending time with me, encouraging me with words, all of those different kinds of things. Those things are things I enjoy. So how do I, like, if I was rating myself 1 to 10 on how I encourage others or how I give gifts to others or spend time with them or whatever, how am I doing in showing that to others? Am I doing this right here? Am I treating others like I would want to be treated? And so we can look at this entire passage through some of that lens. So let's begin in Matthew 7. We're going to read verse 1 through 6 to start. So this is, first two verses is very well known. Even by people who are not Christians, they often quote this. Jesus says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now he continues, he says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own? You hypocrite." Remember that term that we used? Hypocrite? What did it originally mean to the people back then? An actor, right? So this is someone who is putting on a show for others. He says, "You actor." Okay, "you hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." So that last verse is kind of a confusing verse, isn't it? It's weird. It's like Jesus is talking about judging people and helping them see issues in their own eye, but first take care of the issue in your own life. And then he randomly is talking about dogs and pigs. What gives, all right? Well, let's look at this together because he's making a really good point here that we need to see, but we need to understand it in the right order. So the first thing here is don't compare yourself to others, okay? Don't compare yourself to others. So he gets into this about judging, right? That we tend to judge others, especially in things that we feel good at, right? We feel like, oh, well, I don't really struggle with lying, so when I see someone else lying, I can really call them out. But it would be really bad if somebody called out all these other issues that I have, right? So we just tend to ignore that. And that's what he's getting into with this whole thing about the log in your own eye. The word log here could also be taken to be meant as like a plank or like a large beam that you would use in building a house. So just imagine having like a beam that is like made of wood holding up the hub or something like that. And he's saying, just imagine that's what's in your own eye and you're over here complaining about the little speck in someone else's eye that you're going to somehow try to pull out. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Deal with this giant, enormous, obvious problem in your own life that's you're aware of, right? I mean, how could you just live life with a giant log sticking out of your eye, right? Okay, you would obviously notice. But the problem is that a lot of times we feel okay with that, that we're comfortable with this somehow because we've just gotten used to it. And so we will ignore sin issues in our own heart that we're like, yeah, but I'm really good at this other thing and someone else is really bad at it, so I can point that out in their life. Jesus is like, look, be careful about the measure you judge others because that's the measure you're going to be judged with. So if you're someone who gives mercy and grace to other people and you are forgiving, you're someone who is loving even when someone else is not kind to you, you're someone who helps to cover up not in like a scandalous way of covering someone else's problem, like, you know, someone else stole money, I'm going to lie for them. Not like that, okay? But being forgiving and loving towards someone, if you're that kind of person, guess what? People are going to tend to treat you that way as well. And ultimately, think about if I'm going to try to be strict with others, how much more strict do you think God's going to be with me in judging the way that I lived? He's like, yeah, you held everyone else to a high standard. Let me show you the real high standard here. So you guys know that I like to play disc golf, right? Most of you do if you've been here. So you know that I like to play disc golf. So today we went out. We had the high school wake study, and I was over there with Pastor Izzy, and they said, hey, Pastor Scott, since it's your birthday, let's go play around. And so we had like a dozen people out on the course this morning, most of which had never played disc golf before, right? And so if you have played or if you've even tried throwing those frisbees, you know there's a good bit of technique involved in it, okay? It's not just simple, and now I throw the disc 350 feet, okay? It's really hard. You've got to do a lot of things really well. My like best throw ever was 354 feet, and that was like once, okay? I have not been able to throw it that far again, and I play a lot, right? I really enjoy it. I watch technique videos and stuff. So here's the thing. My temptation is when I get out there to understand that I'm decent at driving, but I kind of struggle at putting. So when I get to watch other people struggle to throw it 50 feet long, that I can feel pretty good about myself and be like, that guy's such a loser. You know, he can barely throw those discs at all. Because what I'm doing is I'm taking the thing that I feel good about and judging someone else in it. When there's actually like a huge problem that, hey, you've been playing intensely for the last 7 or 8 months and you're still really weak at putting. Why don't you deal with that instead of judging everybody else? Okay, now this is kind of a fun example to show you guys, but we do this with sin problems in our life, okay? We do it where we will judge ourselves against people that we feel like sin more than us, right? Like we'll say, well, I'm not a murderer, so I must be a good person, right? Have you guys ever heard? I've heard people say that to me. I feel like I'm a pretty good person. It's not like I rob stores and murder people. It's like, really? Is that the standard we're going to hold ourselves to? And it's the same thing when I play frisbee golf, that I can go and compare myself and be like, well, I may not be amazing, but I'm way better than a bunch of people, right? And then here's the thing is, I'm going to show you guys this video. This guy that we're going to watch is one of the top three probably disc golfers in the world. He's almost 400 feet away from the basket, and watch this throw that he makes. Watch this. Watch. Right into the basket. Well, he only had the one chance. Watch this. It'll track it. Watch. Whoop. Boom. See, here's the thing. If I compare myself to people that I feel good about comparing myself with, here's the thing, is I can just quickly go and look at some of the people playing on these tours that are like professionals, and it will humble me pretty quickly, right? And show me, look, you can't even throw that far. You can't even throw as far as that guy just did, much less hit it in the basket when you only get one try. That is amazing, all right, right? Like, that guy is really good. Here's the thing. We don't need to judge ourselves morally against people around us where we can feel good about ourselves, and we don't need to judge ourselves and compare ourselves with each other when it comes to doing things that are right, because that can discourage us in ways, right? We can be up here singing out in worship, and then realize, man, my singing voice is not as good as someone else's. I wonder if they're going to hear me singing. And then we're like, I'll just stop singing then because I don't want to be compared. If we will place our focus on Christ instead, as this is the one that I love, this is the one that I aspire to be like, one, it'll give us better relationships with each other because we won't have all this drama of picking each other apart, and we won't be feeling better about ourselves because we're pushing others down, right? You guys ever seen like one of those things where it's like a funny movie or something, someone's drowning and they're like pushing someone else underground? Oh, hold on, okay? It's like a comedy movie and like they're fine, but this guy's like out in a pool or something and he's like pushing someone else under the water to hold himself above the water, right? And they do this because they're freaking out and they're insecure in who they are and their own ability. So they're like, look, this guy seems to be able to tread water. I'm just going to push him down to hold myself up. And it's like, look, now you're both going to be in a bad spot in just a minute because what's going to happen? Well, you're going to drown that guy, and then he's not going to help you stay up anymore, and then you're going to drown. So it's going to be bad for both of you. So instead, if we can stop doing that and allow God to intervene into our lives and to be the one that we're focusing our lives on, then we're going to have a lot better time with other people in the way that we relate to them. See, he talks about there this idea, if we continue, about giving to dogs what is holy. He says, do not give to dogs what is holy. Now, what is he talking about here?
Well,
right. Okay. So here's the thing. Dogs in this culture and its time were like, they were not pets like we have them now. Okay. They were like ravenous dogs is what he's talking about. Like stray dogs that would come around and they didn't have like a garbage disposal or something like that. So a lot of times what they would do is they would put scraps of food and things like that outside and these dogs would roam the streets and clean up whatever was left outside. So here's the thing. If you're making a great dinner, you would not feed those ravenous dogs that have all these different diseases and will probably turn and attack you and things. And he says the same thing about swine, pigs, right? Don't give pearls to pigs. They don't appreciate it. And this gets at the idea that he's talking about here. We can see something in someone else's life. So let's say that we are dealing with the sin in our own life. We are genuinely wanting to help someone else in their Christian walk to know Jesus more, to follow him. But here's the thing. Not everybody wants to hear it. This week, I got to talk to some people who didn't really, like, they wanted to hear about what I believed, but they didn't really want to accept it or anything like that. And you know what? Jesus kind of makes it out here that, look, some people are not going to value things that have great value. Okay? That dogs don't appreciate a good cooked meal because they'll go for whatever. We don't give to them the things that are set apart and holy and good. We don't give to pigs pearls. Why? Because they don't care. They'll just run over them. They don't care about those things. So here's the thing. If you have someone in your life that you want to help, you want to share the gospel with, you invite them to church, let's say, and they just shut you down every time. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to come with you, that kind of thing. Jesus is saying, look, it's okay. There are going to be those people in the world. We don't judge them in a way where we're like, well, guess what? You're going to hell. See ya. You know, we don't just like treat them terribly because of that. But we're not going to get discouraged either because Jesus says, look, there are people who are going to reject you. Later on, he talks about how no servant is greater than his master. And people rejected Jesus So we can expect that people are going to reject us when we come with this message of good news. The main thing here, though, is that we're not comparing ourselves with others. We're not gaining value from how we look at, I'm better than this other person, or that person's so much better than me that I feel bad. Okay, no, we find our identity as followers of Christ. We know we have great value because Jesus died because of his love for us. And so now we are able to live in response to that in worship. So if we have people who are living in this way, I've got a couple suggestions for you. If there's someone doing something that you feel like is wrong, you've talked to them, you've tried to help correct it, and maybe they're continuing in it. Maybe it's something harmful, because that happens sometimes. Here are some things I would recommend as you move forward. Ask questions. Make sure, okay, when you're asking questions, you're trying to find out if you understand things correctly. I cannot tell you how many times in my life I thought I had all the facts, that somebody was doing something wrong, or that they were being stupid or something like that. And then I just acted as if I knew everything. And then I found out later on a little important piece of information that made me look like an idiot because I didn't ask questions, okay? Because I assumed someone had a bad motive or that they didn't care about me or something like that. So we have to be careful. We need to ask questions to make sure that we understand things right, okay? Then talk privately. Don't call someone out in here, right? Like, don't be like, yup, Pastor Scott's talking about you. You definitely sin in that way. It's like, whoa, man. Okay, that is not how we love each other. That is, going back to our main principle, not how you would want to be treated. You would not want to be called out on the carpet in front of everyone. That would be embarrassing, right? So why would you do that to someone else? You got to think about how would it feel if I did what I'm doing to someone else, right? So we talk in private. If there's something, man, if I hurt somebody's feelings or something, don't just stand up in here and be like, you're the worst, and then walk out, right? Like, come up and talk to me afterwards and say, hey, Pastor Scott, when you said that thing, it really hurt my feelings. This is why. Because probably, seriously, like, probably I did not mean to hurt your feelings. If I did mean to hurt your feelings, I would like to explain why I was trying to hurt your feelings. Because it's probably a sin issue that I'm not hurting your feelings as much as I'm pointing to something else. But a lot of the time, it's not going to be that. It's that I just didn't mean to hurt your feelings, okay? So we need to do that in private. We need to have those conversations in private, not tell a bunch of people and then go have the conversation like, hey, did you know Pastor Scott is a jerk and he talks about people and calls them out on the carpet? He's so mean. Hey, Pastor Scott, can I talk to you for a second? Okay, like, that's not being in private either, okay? This is going back to the whole don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, okay? That we are being almost secretive in the way that we treat others so that we're not drawing attention to something to puff ourselves up with pride or to embarrass someone else, okay? And then the final thing is tell a trusted authority. Look, if you know someone else is doing something wrong, you've asked the questions to find out if what you heard or you thought you saw or whatever was true, and you found out it was, and then you talk to them about it privately, they don't want to stop doing it, and you think that it's a serious problem, tell a trusted authority. That could be a parent, okay? So if, like, your sibling is doing something that you think is wrong, you've done these steps, and they keep on doing it, guess what? You're not their parent. They're not your parent, right? But you do need to tell your parent if you think what they're doing is wrong, okay? Because your parent can then deal with it. Maybe it's at school. You think somebody else is cheating. You ask them about it. You find out, yes, I was looking at that other person's thing. Well, don't you think you don't need to do that? No, it's fine. You know, everybody does it, whatever their excuse is. Well, if they won't stop, you need to let an authority know about those kinds of things, okay? Because what's the problem there? The problem is they're going to think that for the rest of their lives, it's okay for them to continue on doing that. They're not going to have integrity. They're going to try to coast through, and then they're going to get out into the real world and not be actually prepared for it, because instead, I mean, there's not a cheat sheet for life and how to just figure things out. You have to go through the process of learning. So we need to be diligent in these matters. It's not that, you know, we're going around just tattletaling on everyone for every little thing and trying to get each other in trouble. That's not the issue, okay? The issue is what's going on with the person's heart. How can I help them, not how can I get them in trouble, all right? If you're going at it in that kind of attitude and motive, you got the wrong attitude and motive. You've got a giant log in your own eye you need to deal with before you try and deal with the speck in this other person's eye. So, followers of Christ must be genuine with themselves and with God. So we have to ask ourselves, what are the giant, enormous logs in my own eye that are problems I need to deal with? What are the things that are weaknesses in my life? How can I ask someone else, hey, can you give me a hand with this giant log that's in my eye? It's a huge problem. Okay? Because that's what good friends are able to do. That's what we have leaders here. They're able to help, is to talk with you about the things in your life that maybe you struggle with or are weaknesses. Or, I mean, if you're not good at doing a morning devotional or whenever you try to do it, you're just not good at being consistent. You can ask any of us, hey, will you hold me accountable to do this? And you know what? We're going to do it. We want to help you to see clearly. And so we'll help you deal with those things that are issues. But you got to invite somebody in, okay? You got to ask someone else into the process. Once we understand our weaknesses, what's cool is we get to know the grace of God. We get to know that God loves us even in spite of those weaknesses, that he desires to transform and change us and to move us into the kind of person he's called us to be. We then understand the forgiveness of God, and then we're able to share these with others. When you know great forgiveness, it's so much easier to forgive others. If you can understand how much God has forgiven you, that every sin you've ever done to anybody was truly against God, and he's forgiven you of that through Christ, then it's pretty easy for us to forgive someone else for talking about us, for hurting our feelings, for being able to do those things, because instead of focusing on that, we're focusing on, man, God has forgiven me of so much more, and he's going to forgive me the rest of my life. Not that it just like, I can go sin and do whatever I want. Okay, that's not the attitude. But instead, when I fall, when I mess up, when I do something, that God still forgives me even of that. That's an amazing thing, and we get to share that then with others. So the second part here we're going to look at in verse 7 through 11 is really, really cool. And here's the two things I want you to keep in mind as we read the next section. Seek God's kingdom purposes and pray with power. Seek God's kingdom purposes and pray with power. He says something incredible here. Now, if we don't read this well, it's going to be as confusing as the thing about the dogs and the swine. We're just going to go, what? And then forget it. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Here's the really funny part. Read this. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Basically, hey, if your kid asks for a fish for his meal, which one of you is going to give him a snake instead? No, you're not going to give your kid that, okay? No, no. Once you know what it's like to be a parent, you're not going to act that way. Look, He says this. He says, if you then, who are evil, that's pretty big, right? He's like calling them out right there a little bit. He says, if you then who are evil, and this means that we have sin in our lives. He's not calling them like an evil genius kind of evil kind of thing. Okay, he's saying, if you who have sin know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So here is where we get into this right here. How many of you have ever prayed for something and you didn't get it? Anybody? I know I have. I know growing up as a kid, Christmas Eve prayers, right? Dear God, please let me get a Nintendo 64. Please let me get a PlayStation 2. Please let... I mean, this was a while ago, all right? Like when I was a little kid. No, there was no Wi-Fi, okay? Online meant on the cable with the other guy sitting next to you, okay? When the original Halo came out, and we had LAN parties where we'd hook up like several computers in the same room together and play. Oh, it was incredible. That was what online playing meant back in the day, was being in the same room together and all having your own Xbox. So here's the thing. We've probably all prayed for something. Some things are more serious than others, right? I've also had times in my life where I've prayed for someone to be healed of something, and they were not healed of that thing. Or I've prayed for a certain result on something that was really important, and I didn't get the result I wanted. So the question then is, Jesus says that if you ask, it will be given to you. How come when I ask, it's not given to me, right? Here's what it comes back to right here, is seeking God's kingdom purposes. Because we don't just take one little passage of scripture out of the Bible and say, this stands on its own, away from everything else, and we'll build an entire way of thinking around Jesus just saying, ask and it will be given to you. Oh, so God, give me $5 million and a Porsche. He didn't give it to me. What is up with that? Okay? Okay, exactly. So we're going back, remember, in chapter 6. Go back and look at chapter 6, right? The Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We submit to God's will. We ask, God, help me to live in a way that you would want me to live. Help me to be humble. And so when we focus in on that, it changes the way that we ask for things. It changes our priorities. And we're able to understand that, you know what? God is working out his plan in the world. And so I don't need to be anxious about all this stuff that's going on. When I ask, I can have a good understanding that even if I ask for something and it doesn't seem like I get what I want, that God's not going to give me something bad instead of it, like truly bad, okay? It may be that, man, one day, way down the road, your doctor runs some tests on you and you're like, God, please don't let it be cancer. And then it is. And you're like, oh my goodness. Come on, God. Like, I asked, I prayed, I asked for you to not let it be this, and it was. We have to understand that God is a good God, that he loves us like a good father, that he desires what is absolutely best for us, and that he is working out a plan even if we don't see what it is in the time, even if it's hard in the time, that he is working out a plan that is going to bring glory to him and is also going to work out for our good in the long run, that he's maturing us, that he's growing his kingdom here on earth through believers, that he's reaching out to people to save them from sin. And that maybe that circumstance is one of the ways that God is able to work and to be able to reach someone that never would have come to know Jesus Christ otherwise. I've seen that time and time again. I'm sure some of our other adult leaders have, where we've seen God use things that seem like terrible situations that he used in a way that was drawing someone else to know Jesus Christ, to have faith in him, to completely transform their lives. And you know what? Before that and up until that thing happened, it did not seem like that person would ever follow Jesus. And he used an amazing testimony there to show that even in tough things, God can work it out for his good, for our good, for his glory. So he reminds us here to ask in a way that's seeking God's kingdom purposes, but also remember to pray with power, right? This is strong language here that he's saying it will happen. If you knock, the door will be open. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, you will receive. There is like a powerful way here that he's saying, don't do things, don't pray in ways where you think you're just talking to the ceiling and there's nothing that's going to come of it. Because when we pray, we're talking with God, expressing the things on our heart, the things that we desire, asking him for, I mean, when was the last time maybe that you asked God, what are the things I need to care about in my life? Change the things that I care about from being silly things like video games to things like people in poverty who don't know you. Change my desires from being to get rich and famous one day to making you famous one day. If you will pray in those kinds of ways, God will radically change the way your heart works. I'm not saying the physical heart. I'm saying the way that you care about things, he will give you those desires. He says so in here. He says, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't mean whatever I desire, God will give me. He means he will give you the actual desires, the things to want. But we've got to ask and we've got to pray in a way that's expecting God to show up and to do something awesome. And then we get into this final passage, the thing he's been ramping up to the whole time, to love others how you would want to be loved. See, if we are not judging others because we know that we would not want to be judged in that way, if we're not giving out to, you know, if you didn't care about something and someone just kept on, that's not how you would want to be loved. You would want to be respected, right? Anybody tried to sell you something before it, you were like, dude, I don't want it, okay? And they just kept on. I mean, that's like super annoying. So we don't do that with the gospel. If someone's like, no, I don't want it, you're like, all right, I'll pray for you and, you know, have a good day kind of thing. We love them. But also when we pray for people in the ways that we would want to be prayed for. And ultimately this leads us to verse 12 through 14. We're going to pick up in 13 and 14 next week as well. He says here, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Here's what he's saying here. And he talks about it several other times in the New Testament so that we get this idea through our thick heads. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. It doesn't just mean broadly love God, I love people. No, it means specifically live in ways that bring glory to God and specifically live in ways that make other people know that they are created special, that God has a plan for their life, that you care about them, and you care about them because God cares about them and because God cares about you. And you want to share that with someone else. We live in this way where we are called to treat others the way we would want to be treated as well. Going back to disc golf, you know what was really cool when I started playing disc golf was that there were other people who were better than me at it that help me learn things, that let me borrow things, that would go out and play, even though it took me forever to be able to play around because I was terrible and kept throwing it in the trees, right? But they were gracious. They gave me time. They helped me out. So what do I do now? I try to do the same thing for people who are coming up behind me in that, right? Why don't we do the same thing in our Christian walk? Because we understand every, man, I have not just grown up into my who I am today because of myself alone. There have been people who have poured into my life along the way. And so now I love getting to pour into other people and be able to encourage them in their walk with Christ to grow more. My hope and desire is that as I pour into someone like you guys and you girls, that you will take that, you will grow, and then you will pour that out into someone else in the way that you care about them, in the things that you say to them, the attitudes you have with them. I hope that I model those things for you so that then you're able to go and model those things to other people and show them this is what it's like to follow Jesus Christ. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. So my question for you is to think about how are you treating others in your words, in your deeds, in your attitudes? Do a little bit of self-evaluation, right? Now, tonight, we've had a birthday party theme, right? Okay. Now, like Mr. Jeffrey said, it's my birthday. Okay. Now, here's the thing. We didn't do a birthday party for me. I did a birthday party for you guys, right? You didn't go buy a cake. You didn't go buy ice cream. You didn't set up decorations, okay? We did that for you guys because I wanted to be a type of reminder for you to think about doing for others the kinds of things that you would want done to you. If you would want someone to speak kind words to you, speak kind words to other people. And I know everybody in here does. If you would want someone else to stick up for you when you were in a bad situation, stick up for other people when they're in a bad situation. If you would want someone to be generous to you when you need help, be generous to someone else when they need help. Whatever it is that you can think of is how you would want to be treated in life, treat others in a similar kind of way. Now, here's a caveat on that. You know what a caveat is? It's like a little asterisk. Okay, no, that's caviar. Close. A caveat, okay? A caveat is like where you put an asterisk on something and there's like a little disclaimer or something, okay? Here's a caveat. Someone else may have a different kind of personality than you do, okay? So, for instance, I've told a couple of people, I a lot of times am more introverted than extroverted, okay? So I enjoy being able to just go spend an afternoon throwing disc golf on my own, okay? Other people do not enjoy that. They enjoy having friends over and being together and things like that. That shows them value. They care about that, okay? Or, for instance, some people really appreciate having acts of service done for them where you serve them in some way. You take their plate or you offer to clean up or whatever the case is. Some people really appreciate that. Some people don't. Exactly. I can be that way, okay? So here's the thing. I can be that way where I don't necessarily appreciate someone else serving me, okay? But, yeah, I feel a little bit insecure about it, I guess, kind of thing. That I'm like, look, I can do it. Let me show you how much I can do it. But here's the thing. For other people, they really appreciate that. So I have to love them in ways that make sense for them, okay? Not just in ways that would make sense to me. So definitely think through, okay, kind words, I would want them. Yes, other people would want them. Okay, generosity, I would want it. Yes, other people would want that as well. Okay, but the ways that we express these things may differ from person to person based on what they appreciate. This is how you really can show someone value. Check this out. If you will get to know what someone cares about, and you will love them in ways that make sense to them that they really appreciate, that is an amazing way to show someone love. It's an amazing way. Get to know people, what they like, what they appreciate, what makes them feel like you care about them, and do those kinds of things, okay? Do those kinds of things that will bring people to understand that you really care about them. All right, so wrapping up tonight, we're going to pray in just a second, but we've got something that you have to have at a birthday, right? A cake. So we've got cake and ice cream here in just a minute. Ice cream, the frozen kind, okay? So, yeah, the real kind.
The flavor is
ice. Yes. So we're going to have that in a minute because, hey, that's one of the things that I would appreciate at my birthday. And so I thought you guys might appreciate it as well. So we had it free. Is that what you would appreciate? You'd like that? Broccoli cake. Okay. Well, we'll see. All right. Let me pray for us and thank the Lord for this evening. Seriously think about how you can love people this week that in ways that you would want to be loved. All right. God, we thank you for this evening. We ask that as we go out, you'll remind us of how we ought to treat others in the ways that we would desire to be treated. God, we thank you so much for the forgiveness and love that you have extended to us for our sins. Help us to forgive others in similar ways that will point them to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.